message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad that you've joined us today. We trust that our time together in God's Word will be a blessing to you. We're going to look back at Romans chapter number 5, where we were in our last study together. We saw then the stages that Paul lays out in Romans 5, demonstrating how God loves us and the extent to which God loves us. Maybe you studied with us and you'll remember that he says in Romans 5 verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodliness. When God saw us in our helplessness, without strength, unable to do things that would please Him, Christ died for the ungodly." In other words, God's love extended itself to us not when we were worthy and not when we were helping Him and serving Him and pleasing Him, but when we were helpless, unable to do what He wanted and demanded that we do. Not only that, but God commended His love, verse 8 says, "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," not only in our helplessness, but in our sinfulness, in our sin. You know, there's a popular religious idea that the way you get saved and you gain God's acceptance is that you clean up your life and you quit doing everything God doesn't want you to do, and you start doing everything God wants you to do. And if you'll produce the kind of good works, you know, if you'll repent, by that they mean be sorry for your sin and turn from your sin and quit living in sin and quit doing things that are wrong, and then you go out and serve God, that God will accept you. But this verse tells you that God commends it. But you see, you're helpless. You can't do that. That's the whole point. We're without strength. You can't quit sin in your life. Oh, I know you can stop one habit. I have a friend in Chicago where I live that he'd smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day for the past 30 years, and he quit smoking cigarettes. And the reason he quit smoking cigarettes is because it got to be too expensive. And he went to one of these clinics where they teach you to stop smoking, and it didn't work. Spent a bunch of money, and it didn't work for him. So he went home, and he's smoking these cigarettes every day, and it got to be a lot of money. And he decided, "I'm going to quit." And he sat down and had about a 10-minute conversation with himself and told himself he's going to quit, and he quit. I mean, he quit cold turkey in 10 minutes, a habit that he had developed and practiced for over 30 years of addiction to nicotine, and he quit cold turkey just like that in a 10-minute conversation with himself. And he's pretty proud of himself, pretty proud of himself. And, you know, you say, "Well, I can quit my sin." Well, he quit his. He quit smoking cigarettes. He quit a habit that bound him and that controlled him, and he quit. But you know what he did? He swapped it for a bigger problem. He swapped it for pride. That old boy walks around with his chest all stuck out like a swelled-up toad frog now, proud of himself about the thing that he accomplished and quit. Now, I commend anybody who can break a habit like that. But that isn't what God accepts. You see, the problem is that we can't do some things. We can certainly do a lot of self-improvement. But the problem is we never improve ourselves enough. We're helpless to perform the way God desires. You see, to be accepted before God, you have to be perfect. And that's something you aren't and you can't be. I mean, if you never sinned again the rest of your life, you never made a mistake, you never had a sin of omission or commission, you never did anything wrong, you never failed to do everything right, the rest of your life, you'd still have your past to pay for. And that'd be enough to sink you. That's the problem. So when we were helpless, without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners in our sinfulness, not just that we were helpless, but we're out doing things we know we ought not do, Christ died for our sins. Then verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Not only in our helplessness, not only in our sinfulness, but also in our willfulness. We weren't just doing things that displeased God. We were doing things we knew displeased God, and we did them anyway. And in that kind of rebellion and enmity against God, God Himself came and intervened in our behalf and demonstrated His love toward us not by demanding that we would perform for Him, and that if we didn't, then He wouldn't accept us, but He went and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, in that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died for us. And these three stages of our sinfulness demonstrate the three stages of God's love and grace being extended to us. But as you go on in Romans chapter 5, there's another issue here. Because these three issues of our helplessness, our sinfulness, and our willfulness, and God's love manifest to us in that, demonstrates a dispensational truth here that's very important. Because he goes on to demonstrate these truths in dispensational terms. Now, as we study our Bible, and we've shown you on our Bible study together many times, that the Apostle Paul divides the Bible into three basic time periods. First, he has what he calls time past. And you find that in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 11 and 12. Then he has what he calls but now. And then there is what is called the ages to come. And those three time periods are a basic way that the Apostle Paul lays out the Word of God. There are basic characteristics in time past, things that are true back here. We live in the dispensation of grace in the but now. Things have changed, and then in the ages to come. But involved in those three time periods are also some dispensational boundaries that are identified in Romans chapter number 5. For example, verse number 12, Romans 5, 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. The time passed back here is divided. And there's a time period, there's a division back here that starts with Adam and extends down through Moses. Now, from Adam to Moses, death reigned. Now, when you come to Moses, there's something else comes on the scene here. Verse number 20 in Romans 5, he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. When Moses comes in, the law comes in. The law of Moses, the law is given through Moses. He's the mediator of the law, and it's given to the nation Israel. And the law enters. So you have from Adam to Moses, then beginning with Moses, the law comes in. But where the law, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And grace comes in the ministry of the Apostle Paul over here. So you have a period from Adam to Moses. And then you have a period from Moses to Paul. The period from Moses to Paul is called law. The period following Paul over here until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ over here is called grace. And by the way, after that is what is called in the Bible the kingdom, the reign of Christ. From Adam to Moses, death. Death reigned. Beginning with Moses, under the law, sin reigns under the law. You notice in verse number chapter 5, verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, for that as sin had reigned, sin reigned under the law. Death reigned under Adam's, from Adam to Moses. Then sin reigned. As sin reigned, even so might grace reign. Under Paul here, under the dispensation of grace, God's grace is what reigns today. From Adam to Moses, death reigns. From Moses to Paul, sin reigns. And with Paul in the dispensation of grace, grace is what reigns today. One day, Jesus Christ is going to come back over here, and He's going to reign. And when the Lord Jesus Christ reigns over here, then it will be righteousness is going to reign. He'll rule and reign in a kingdom with a rod of iron and in a kingdom of absolute, complete, and total righteousness. Now, if you go back with me to Romans chapter number 5 and begin at verse number 12, these time periods back here mark out some dispensational distinctions in God's dealings that are very important for us to understand. From Adam to Moses marks the first division back here in verse number 14. Now, just like from Moses to Paul has a name, law. From Paul to the second coming of Christ to the kingdom program out there is grace. The dispensation of grace ends with the rapture of the church. The body of Christ goes out. Then the kingdom program comes in out here and so forth. In here, grace reigns. With Moses, the law reigns. From Adam to Moses, there's a name given to that in your Bible. Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Notice, what's the purpose of the law, Paul says? It was added because of transgression. Well, the law was added on. For something to be added on, that means there had to be something here prior to it. Well, what was the law added on to? Verse number 18, Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed come to whom the promise was made. And it is ordained by an angel in the hand of a mediator. What was the law added to? Folks, the law was added to promise. Back here in time past, when God put Adam on the earth, God made some promises, and God had a purpose in establishing man in the earth. If you go back with me to Genesis chapter number 1, it's always important to ask yourself, what is God doing when He does something? And find out in His Word. And when God put man on the earth, He had a purpose for man in the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let mankind have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And He created them for a purpose. What was it? To go out and have dominion over the creation that God had made. So verse 28 in Genesis 1 says, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God placed man on the planet, folks, to subdue the planet, have dominion over the planet, to rule over the planet, to establish a governmental rulership over planet earth, wherein man subdued and ran the earth as God's servant. In other words, God put man on the earth to subdue it and to run it and to control it for Him. Well, you know what happened. Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 meet up with Lucifer, Satan he's called. And Adam and Eve join the ranks of the rebellion of the adversary, and they sin. And the fall of man takes place, and man rebels against God. And man rebels against the purpose of God that God had created him for. And man takes an independent streak and goes about going to do it his way and not paying attention to what God said. And he corrupts the Word of God. He turns his back on the Word of God and he falls into sin. And sin brings death. See, death reigned. That's what Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 is talking about. When it says, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world. Do you understand when Adam and Eve sinned? Think about it. You know, you hear people talk about preaching to crowds and reaching the whole world with the gospel. There was one message that was preached by one preacher in one time in history. He preached this message to half of the human race, and that half of the human race completely and totally believed the message and went out and converted the other half of the human race. You know when that was? That was in the Garden of Eden. Satan taught his lie to Eve, and Eve bought it, and she sinned. She ate the fruit. She went and converted Adam. Or maybe I should say Adam was converted by what she did. And the whole race fell into sin. Now, Eve was deceived. Don't get it wrong. The scripture says Eve was tricked and deceived, but Adam sinned willfully. That's what it's talking about when it says there that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Adam's transgression was a willful violation of a commandment of God. God told him what to do. He told him what not to do. And Adam willfully chose to rebel against it. And thus sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, of the commandments of God. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Folks, the wages of sin is death. That's what happens when you sin, is it brings forth death. That's what sin produces. And with Adam is the entrance of sin. Sin enters with Adam's fall. Now when that happened, God had a purpose for man. And God, rather than just destroying His creation and forgetting about His purpose, God made a promise to mankind. Genesis 3:15, He's speaking to the serpent, but He talks about what He's going to accomplish. Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's what the preachers call the proto-evangel, the first good news. God promises Adam and mankind, He promises Satan, that God Himself would come and do for man what man couldn't do for himself. He promises a seed who will come and be God's seed, and who will come and bring the salvation for man that man was incapable of producing for himself. Now you know the story how it goes. Genesis chapter 12, God calls out Abraham, and He makes promises to Abraham, and he makes promises about a nation, and a line of people and a seed line that are going to come down and bring, through whom He's going to bring the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. Come with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. That's talking about right over here on the chart, when Jesus Christ comes back to set up His kingdom. And He comes back to sit upon the throne of His glory. When He does that, verse 34 says, Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now watch carefully. Verse 34, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What did God do has He been doing back here from the foundation of the world? Well, back here what God did is He made a promise to Adam. He amplified that promise to Abraham and to Abraham's seed, and it had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and a kingdom that God was going to give them. You know what the kingdom has to do with? He's going to go right back. What was His purpose in making man? That man might have dominion over the earth and subdue the earth and rule over the earth and replenish the earth and fill up the earth with a creation that honored and glorified God. He's going to accomplish that right over here. So God starts off with a promise. Sin enters. Death reigned. Death reigned because you are a sinner by nature. Sin enters, but God makes a promise. God promises a Redeemer. And you go from Adam to Moses with that being the issue of God dealing with man about this promise. And the promise seed line goes from Adam. It goes to Abraham, from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob to the 12 tribes of Israel, and on down through the line to the Lord Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel in Christ. Now along the way, God added something to the promise. He added the law. And the whole purpose of the law, come with me to Romans chapter number 3. Galatians says that the law was added because of the transgression. That is, if with Adam is the entrance of sin, with Moses and the law is the knowledge of sin. You have a law that tells you what God demands, and then when you break it, you know it. I mean, back here, they didn't have the law, so they didn't know for sure. now they have a written code that tells them, and the knowledge of sin is there. Romans 3, verse number 19. You need to consider this passage. A lot of folks try to get you to keep the commandments and the law. I've been preaching a long time. I started my preaching ministry in a rescue mission, the Mobile Rescue Mission in Mobile, Alabama, 206 State Street. Brother Clyde Reynolds, great saint of God, was the superintendent. And the first time I ever preached inside of a building, I preached in that rescue mission building. And I had a wonderful opportunity to work there through my last couple of years in high school and through college. And I used to deal with the men, and we would deal with the men, the clients as they call them now, that would be in the mission. And over again, I'd have men whose lives had been broken by sin, who were on the road, as they called it, and whose home life was a wreck and whose personal life was a shamble. And I'd talk to them about their soul and ask them, what do you think God would desire for you to do in order that your life might be pleasing to Him? And over again, men would say, keep the commandments, keep the commandments. You know, there's just something in man that thinks he can do that, knows he ought to do it. I used to ask him, I said, well, you got to keep the commandments. Can you name them for me? How about name them in order? I've never yet had anybody even could name the Ten Commandments for me. But people think, well, you better keep them. You need to keep them. You ought to do it. That's what God requires. Well, you know what the law does? It doesn't set a standard and say, here, you keep that and I'll save you. Because it sets the standard. And what you learn from the law? You don't learn from the law how God will save you. You learn from the law how impossible it is for you to make it on your own. I mean, just simply gave 10 simple little rules and you can't keep them. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become not saved, not forgiven, not justified, but guilty before God. Why? By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Sin's like a law, the law's like a mirror. It holds up and it says, sinner, sinner, sinner. And you see, the law isn't going to save you. The law tells you about your sins. It's only when you come to God's grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What's grace? Grace is what God is free to do for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. But don't make a mistake here. You notice how we've got this thing with Paul, grace over here with Paul. Because grace doesn't come in. The law wasn't given when Moses was born. It wasn't even given when Moses tried to deliver Israel the first time. It was later on when he came back at 80 years old that the law was given. And grace, it didn't come in the earthly ministry of Christ. It didn't even come in the early Acts period when he's resurrected and ascended up. Grace, the message of grace doesn't come until Christ from heaven's glory reveals it and communicates it to the Apostle Paul later in your Bible. And grace comes to you because of the cross. It comes by the cross, but it comes at the point of the revelation of it through the Apostle Paul. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. For through the cross comes the forgiveness of sin. Remember that. With Adam comes the entrance of sin. With Moses and the law comes the knowledge of sin. And with God's grace through Calvary comes the forgiveness of sin. That doesn't show up until you come to the ministry committed to the Apostle Paul in your Bible, because that's when God's grace, there in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, he says, but now, that's here, the righteousness of God without the law. When do we get to do away with the law? When we come here, is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You know what the law says? You need righteousness from God, not yourself. And so God, in what Christ did for you at Calvary, has provided that righteousness for you. Remember, will you? Paul says, with Adam is the entrance of sin. With Moses and the law is the knowledge of sin. But with Paul's message about Calvary, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, you have the forgiveness of sins. That's why Paul says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You go back to the law system and the works program back there, and folks, you just have the knowledge of sin, but you have no forgiveness of sin, because back over here, you're under a system of where you have to perform to gain the blessing, and the problem that you have is you never are able to perform perfectly. And if you perform perfectly the rest of your life, if you somehow could muster up the energy to perform perfectly for one day and then blew your brains out so you didn't mess it up the next day, it wouldn't help, because you'd have all the past. The only thing that can ever take away sin is the grace of God, because that's the only way you can come in contact with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death reigned because of sin. Sin reigned because the law, the strength of sin is the law. Trying to perform to please God strengthens the hold of sin in your life, the forgiveness of sin, and life in Christ Jesus comes because Jesus Christ died at Calvary to pay for your sins, and then God raised him again the third day to be the author of eternal life to you if you'll trust him. You can get rid of your religion. You can get rid of your addictions and the slavery to sin and have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Free and free indeed. Life and life indeed. Simply by resting in what God did for you. Right this moment, you can make a choice in your heart, in your mind, the mentality of your soul, to trust God's Son, and God will save you that instant. I trust you'll do it today. Join us again next week. Till then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, Adam, Moses, and Paul. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 247. That's tape offer number 247. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.